To us, you want us to love life and see good days. This is what we do, and I thank you so much for your word, because you gave it to us. You say, here it is, help us now heed this, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Into a new year, how many of you are excited? Really?
Really? Well, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. How many of you are a little fearful?
Are what?
Fearful. Yeah. It's like, what's going to happen this year? Like I said, in 2025, we lost Joe Maddox, our elder that I've had with me since the old schoolhouse days. Before that, I lost my pastor friend from Half Moon Bay. And then after Joe, a friend that we had known before, Gary Mose, died. And then kind of we saw it coming, but it was still a shock. John MacArthur died, which is, you know, I know everybody dies, but I still have my hard time getting my head around that one. Because he'd been there. He'd been at Grace Community Church for over 50 years. And like I said, we got James Dobson's dying. And then Charlie Kirk died. Bodie Bauckham died. All kinds of people died. Even the Duck Commander guy, Phil Robinson, died. And so as I looked at 2026, I was thinking about the other day, and I thought, you know, and I've been through cancer treatment. I'm still going through treatment. And it's been, and that's all been this year. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, this is what happened this year. What's going to happen next year? And I can be a fearful person. And so, kind of that unknown, you know, kind of gives us pause. You know, there's. I was listening to one of my pastors on the radio, or actually on a podcast, and sometime this year, Alistair Begg was in James chapter 5, and he talks about admonitions that James has given us. James 5:7, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts for the coming of the Lord." And he talked about strengthening our hearts. Why do we have weary hearts? What would cause our heart to kind of back up? And he had a great point. One of the things is, we don't know the future. You're sitting in the doctor's office, and he wants to do all these tests, and your heart is a little unsettled because you don't know the answer. The point was, if we knew that whatever the results of this was, we were going to be healthy, we were going to live another 100 years, we wouldn't be that upset sitting there. And so I think a lot of the anxiety, at least that I can identify with and coming to the new year, is I don't know what's going to happen. And so, thinking about that, I went to Psalm 34. You may want to find Psalm 34. This is where we'll be this morning. In Psalm 34, One of my favorite verses is verse 4, where David says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears.
David says, I had a lot of fears. And I'm thinking, 2026, Lord, what's going to happen? And you come to God, you seek the Lord. You seek the Lord in prayer. You seek the Lord's face. And he does deliver us from all our fears. It's amazing. You know, I was thinking about that early this morning or last night. When you think about God, we know that God's a spirit. And we know that God is an eternal spirit. We know that God came and took on the form of a man in Jesus Christ so that we can identify with a person, right? We know that's Christmas. But Jesus is in heaven. So all of our experiences with God now basically are invisible. And it's one of the things really Star Wars had right. God is a force. He's a force, but he's a personable force. He's a force who is a person, but we don't see him. But when we come to him, we experience him because he works miracles in our life. And that's part of Psalm 34. As I was reading this, thinking about all the times God has helped me with my fears, this is a Bible study tip. No extra charge. That you got a favorite verse and you look at that verse. Well, I thought, you know, I should maybe read the rest of the psalm. It's not that I haven't read Psalm 34 before, but I thought I'll read the whole psalm. So let's read the whole psalm. Psalm of David, and we'll talk about this situation in a bit. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and they were radiant and faces will never be ashamed. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. And to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come. You children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of those from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. And those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. And none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Whoa, I thought, Lord, this is an answer. This is an answer. And because as we come to a new year, we come looking back and we see things we did well and things we did not so well, right? And so we come to a new year, and now we have an opportunity to try to do better than what we did last year. So we try to think, okay, I don't want to repeat that. That was not good. I want to do this. So we come to New Year's Next word, it's an R word. Resolutions. Our favorite word. Right? Do you make resolutions for the new year? No. And why not usually? Because we're going to break them. However, today, I'm going to give you six resolutions, six, from Psalm 34. That will change your life. All right? Will change how you live, how you handle situations, what your outlook is. And the more I looked at this, I thought, oh my goodness, this is a gem. So, we're going to say, I resolve, number one, to praise God always. That's how he starts the psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. You notice how David puts this. I will bless the Lord at all times. When I feel like it, when I don't feel like it. Do any of you know who Paul Washer is? Thank you. Paul, great guy. I saw a little clip of him on Instagram yesterday that, again, God used to touch my heart. He says he heard John Piper. You know John Piper? Another good guy. He says, I heard John Piper preach, and John Piper said, I have to work hard to read my Bible. I have to work hard to pray. I have to work hard to do all the disciplines of the Christian life because it's not easy. And the point was, Washer was saying, you know, that encouraged my heart because I find I have to work hard at it. There are times I don't want to read my Bible. There are times I don't want to pray. There are times I don't want to go to church. So I have to work hard at this discipline. And part of this may be I have to work hard at blessing the Lord at all times. You say, well, how in the world can you do that when you have car problems and you got to be towed and it's disrupting everything? Story. I know you like stories. Coming back from L.A., seeing my dad when he was ill in the green Volkswagen. Some of you remember the green. Dane probably. Did I have the green Volkswagen when I coached?
I had the blue one. Blue car.
Oh, the blue car. Okay, that was before. Wow. So anyway, I had that green bug, and I go down to L.A., and, you know, it's air-cooled, right? So you got to be moving for it to be cool. And what is L.A. known for besides smog? Traffic. So I thought, you know, I'm going to beat this going over the Ridge Route. Plus, in a Volkswagen, you got to get your momentum going, and you don't lift. You know, it always used to bug me. I could do very well if I didn't have to lift. But then you get behind some Cadillac who's got 1,000 horsepower going 20 miles an hour, and it's like, dude, and if I lift, I go from fourth gear to second gear. So anyway, you want to get this jump. So I wanted to leave her. I left at 4:30 in the morning so that I could beat the traffic. Well, there was no traffic. Well, there was a lot of traffic. It surprised me. And I just started to go up the Ridge Route, just when you pass their McDonald's there, and you go up, and bang, I blew a spark plug. Just flew out of the car. And so I'm limping along. I pull over. I called AAA and waited. Tow truck came. And he had to tow me all the way up a certain way to turn around and come back. So he takes me all the way back down the hill. And he sticks me in a gas station that wasn't open yet. So now I'm sitting there. I think it was a Chevron. I have to sit there and wait for the guy to open. I explain what's going on. Obviously, he did not want to fix my car, which is not a good feeling. However, he was my only shot. So somehow he decided, okay, I'll fix my car. So it is kind of a stopping off point for motorists. So there was a gas station, and I think across the parking lot there was some place to eat or something, because I remember getting a cup of coffee, and I come outside and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what is up with this? So sometimes you got these incidences in life where you wonder, Lord, what are you doing? How can I bless the Lord at all times when this is not the plan, and here I am sitting? So I'm kind of mopey. And then I'm sitting. And then this lady sits next to me. And I don't know how we got started in this conversation, but she was obviously distressed. And her marriage was falling apart, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so I had in my pocket, for some reason, a tract. And I said, you know, man, that is really bad news. And my favorite line is, I can't help you. I really wish I could help you. But I know somebody who can help you. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. So I gave her that tract and something else, and she was very appreciative. And then the guy said, your car's done. And I thought, well, okay. So I get in the car. It ran. It actually ran pretty good going over the ridge rail. And, you know, I began to praise God through this because I said, Lord, this may have happened just for me to give that tract to that lady. And if that's the case, I praise you for that. Because eternity in spiritual lives and eternal lives are far more important than my schedule and my Volkswagen getting over the ridge rail. So when you hit those times that are hard, you just say, Lord, there's a reason for this, and you're working all things together for my good, so I'm going to praise you at all times. And it is amazing how that will change your attitude. You can say, Lord, I still don't like it, but I praise you that you're in charge. I thank you that I can trust you with this. You think the rest of the psalm will go quicker, just in case you're wondering. This reminds me of one of our favorites is Philippians 4, right? Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. Well, that can be hard to do too. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, this is Philippians 4, 6, by prayer and supplication. Okay, I got that part. I don't like this, so I'm not to be worried about it. So I'm going to pray about it. Great. I can dig that. But then he says, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And I think, well, what can I be thankful for in this disastrous situation? One of them is, God, you're on the throne. God, you love me more than I love you. God, you know the beginning from the end. God, you know exactly what you're happening. None of this is an accident. All of this is working together for your good and for your glory and for my good. So as you just begin to think about that with your little problem or huge problem, it says, in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will literally umpire your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when you get to that point, you can say with David, I will bless the Lord at all times because you have done all this for me. Praise will be continually be in my mouth. My soul will make the boast in the Lord. Humble will hear it. Let us exalt his name together. And you realize David knew this very well. So in verse 4, we come to the second thing. Number one, I resolve to praise God at all times. Just think about that one. That'll change your complete mental attitude. Number two, I will seek the Lord. David says, verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. David was in trouble. This evidently is a recurrence or an occurrence that happened way back in 1 Samuel chapter 21. David had killed Goliath. Everybody was happy, really, but Saul. Because everybody was giving David more praise and glory than King Saul. So he's very jealous. And you know he tries to kill David. So David flees. And he goes to Nob first. And Abimelech, the priest, gives him some of the showbread and actually Goliath's sword. And Saul is still trying to kill David. So he's running for his life. Thank God I have never had that experience of running for my life. At least not yet. Lord willing, I won't, but David had. And so he had this idea to get away from Saul, because Saul, you know, he's in charge of the Israeli army, and that's huge. He says, I'm going to go hide out with the Philistines, Saul's greatest enemies. He's not going to come for me while I'm in amongst the Philistines. So that's what he does. At the end of chapter 21, he goes to hang out with the Philistines. And Achish, who is the king, as David shows up, this is verse 11 of chapter 21. The servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? So David now took those words to heart and greatly feared King Achish of Gath. That was Goliath's hometown. He says, they know who I am. And they know that God has worked through me. Saul has slain his thousands, and I have slain the 10,000. And David says, this may not work. And so he's fearful for his life. And so what he does, and you can figure this out, whether this was right or wrong, all right? But it's what he did. He disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands, scribbled on the doors of the gate, let his saliva run down into his beard. And then Achish said to the servants, "Behold, you see this man behaving as a madman? Why do you bring him to me?" This guy's insane. And then I love the next line. "Do I lack madmen? Take a look at the court. We got enough idiots in our court. We don't need another one," right? "Why have you brought this madman into my presence? Shall this one come into my house?" So David flees. Basically, he's expelled. Now, verse 20, chapter 22, David departed from there and escaped to the cave at Adullam. When his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Commentators have suggested that that may well have been the time that David wrote Psalm 34. So that when he says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears," he said, I was cornered. Saul's after me. Everybody's after me. I even go to the enemy and they find out who I am and they don't want me. So I fake insanity and I'm gone. The interesting thing to me about this is he says, "I sought the Lord and he delivered me." My thought is, and I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but my thought is maybe the Lord said, "David, why don't you try this?" I mean, maybe that was from the Lord. Commentators have argued that for centuries. But somehow God delivered him. And he even says, verse 5, "They looked to him and were radiant." So as he's in that cave with his other fellow, with his marauders, as it were, their faces will never be ashamed. Because why? They looked to the Lord and God delivered them. 2026, no matter what happens, shall we resolve to praise God always, thinking about who he is? And shall we seek him whenever we have any fears and any difficulty? May number one thing we do is, "Oh Lord, help, I don't know what to do. Can you help me with this?" To seek the Lord, to seek him. Number three, I resolve to taste and see that he is good. That's where verse 8 comes in. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." How do I do that? By praising him all the time. How do I do that? By in trouble seeking him out through prayer and depending upon him and his guidance. And as I do that, I taste and see because I watched God change my heart. He may not deliver you from the king, as it were. He may not heal you. He may not provide the new Ferrari or pay off all your bills, but he'll change your heart. And you'll say, Lord, something's different about me. I'm looking at this completely different. All of a sudden, I'm not falling apart, and the circumstances have not changed. But you've changed my look, and I'm praising you. I am seeking you, and I am tasting, and I am finding out you are so very, very good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, you his servants. For those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord will not be in want of any good thing. Initially, what I was going to do for today was the Lord's Prayer. You know that the Lord's Prayer starts in an interesting way. So I was thinking about this too. You know, when you're in bed for a couple of weeks, you got a lot of time to think. So I was thinking, you know, Jesus teaching us how to pray, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, when you pray, go into your inner room. This is Matthew 6:6. Close your door, pray to your Father in secret. Your Father who sees you in secret will repay you. And then he says, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles, for they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. So you don't need a prayer wheel. You don't need all the paraphernalia people come up with. God, and then I love this, verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So it's like, Lord, I don't need to come to you and give you my shopping list of what my needs are. You already know. I come to you with the shopping list in my head. And instead of repeating all of that, and I need, and I want, and oh, poor me, God, you got it. Jesus says, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus is saying, you're not even the point. Your Father is. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Not yours. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, I think Jesus is saying the same thing. Praise God always. Seek him always. Taste and see that he is good. And God will take care of you. You'll notice, give us this day our daily prayer, or rather our daily bread, is, you know, 2-3 verses down. Then he goes on in chapter 6 and he says, why are you guys so worried about what you're going to eat and drink in your life? Right? You know, verse 27. Who of you by being worried can add even a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field, they do not toil nor do they spin. But I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory didn't clothe himself like one of these. Now look it. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? I thought, you're thinking about Psalm 34 in this, if I'm fearful, and if I'm not praising God, and if I'm not seeking him, and if I'm not tasting to see that he is good, I really don't believe him. Little faith. So he says, you guys have little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I could spend the rest of this day telling you how God has done that in our life. It's absolutely amazing. So do not worry about tomorrow, which I tend to do, for tomorrow will have care for itself.
Each day of it has enough trouble of its own. So I'm thinking, God, what you've given me so that I don't worry about tomorrow, I resolve to praise you at all times. I resolve to seek you with my fears. And I resolve to taste and see that the Lord is good. I resolve to do it your way. And then number four, I resolve to listen. Look at back to Psalm 34. After he's saying, resolve to praise God, resolve to seek God, resolve to seek to taste and see is good. Verse 11, come children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And folks, it's in this book. This is it. I was born into a Christian family. I spent my early days from cradle in the back. I heard I was in the bassinet in the back row of the Russian church. I've been in church my entire life. And I've read this book a lot. But I can tell you, the older you get, and the more you praise God at all times, the more you seek him, the more you taste and see his good, and the more you listen to him when he speaks. And you're reading your daily devotions or whatever, and you say, okay, Lord, oh, what do you want me to do with that? If you listen to him, he'll tell you. And then you put it to use. So next year, I resolve to always praise God, to seek the Lord, to taste and see is good, to listen. And then I'm no dummy. I'm going to seek life. I'm going to seek life. Verse 12, here's where the song came from. Who is the man who desires life and loves the length of days that he may see good? That's me. So, Sidorovich, keep your tongue from evil. Oh, listen to me. Here's how it happens. Refrain your tongue from evil. Be careful how you speak. I was thinking about this. You know, one of the ways you can do that is be careful what you watch or listen to. Because if you watch a bunch of clips or TV things where they're using bad language, I have found you tend to begin to think that way. It's dangerous. If I'm going to keep my tongue from evil, then I've got to keep the rest of me from evil, right? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. All right, seek peace and pursue it. So there's my goal for 2026. When you do that, the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and the ears are open to their cry. So when I cry to you in my fears, you will answer. When I cry to you in my distress, you will answer. So there it is. Number six. As we resolve to always praise God, to seek the Lord, taste and see that he is good, to listen, to seek life, the last one sums it up. You've got to resolve to trust God. To trust God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, he ends, verse 19. They'll take care of it, but the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, verse 22. And none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. No matter what happens in 2026, we fall back to this. This is now the default. I'm going to praise you at all times. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to taste and see that you are good. I'm going to listen. I'm going to seek life by following directions. And I'm going to trust you for a whole number of reasons. Number one, you are perfect. Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. You're perfect. There's no mistakes. Number two, Isaiah 46, you have declared the end from the beginning. And you know what it is, and you're accomplishing your purpose. Okay, I don't know that. And I'm not perfect. So Lord, am I going to trust you with this? And I'm going to praise you at all times with this? Well, duh. Who made the heavens and the earth? I read that, it's often in the scripture, and I say, Lord, if you made the heavens and the earth, you can help me with my fears. And then I remember, he's already designed my life.
Psalm 139, the beginning, it's all written down in his book. And then I think Romans 12, you know, or rather Romans 8, all things are working together for good. Romans 12, his will is good, perfect, and acceptable. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're going to walk through this together. And then Ephesians 2:10, he has designed a plan for all of us with good works. Whatever we are, whatever we do, we are there for a reason. It's to please him. And you see, that reason is to have our Father in heaven glorified, to have his kingdom come as his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as he provides for us our daily bread, and as he forgives us as we forgive those who trespass against us, and as he helps us endure temptation so that we don't fall, then we come back and we say, well, Lord, why wouldn't I praise you all day long? Why wouldn't I come to you when I have a fear? Why would I not taste you and see that you are good? Why do I keep going to dirty fountains and drink from polluted water if I'm stubborn? And why won't I listen? And why won't I seek life? Lord, I want to trust you. So I don't know about you. I found this to be helpful. Psalm 34 will be in my head for a long time. And as I think about next year, whatever happens, I'm going to praise God all the time. Resolve to seek the Lord, to taste and see, to listen, and to seek life and to trust him. Father, I know that that's a lot to think about in a short period of time. I thank you for King David. Because as great as he was, and as much as you blessed him and used him, he was a man like us. And when David failed, it was not a small failure. However, he came back to you. He repented. And that was truly a one-off for David. And so, Father, we realize that as we live our lives, we're obviously not a King David. But we are who we are. And we can go through life and it can be difficult. And certainly I think as we come to 2020, if we resolve to praise you always, to seek you, to taste and see that you are good, to listen, to seek life and to trust you, that no matter how bad we feel during the year, and we will, it'll all come around. So that's what this song's about. May this be our prayer. As I That's the only way we can approach a new year. Otherwise, we're not very smart at all. But I'm trusting the God who made the heavens and the earth. And I resolve to praise you always. I resolve to seek you and to come to you for help with my fears. I resolve to taste and see that you are good. I resolve to listen to you in your word. I resolve to seek life and to follow directions. And I resolve to trust you. Oh, dear God, I pray that that is our goal for next year and really for the rest of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.